This is Black Wall Street Chronicles, and we're back at it again. Today I'm going to have a very special episode where I talk about the situation that's going on in Nigeria. But before we get started, I have some church announcements. Please follow me on my Instagram, which is BlackKage840. Again, my Instagram is BlackKage840, B-L-A-C-K. KAGE840. If you go on my Instagram, you'll see my bios, and it'll have access to my Facebook page, my Twitch page, and the podcast page. So let's get to it. I'm going to read an article on CNN. The article is called Nigeria's Youth Finds Its Voice with the End SARS Protest Movement. The article is by Stephanie Busari. Is updated 6:05 p.m. on Sunday, October 25th, 2020. It's 2 days ago. For nearly two, angry young Nigerians have taken to the streets, blocking major roads across cities in the most Africa's most populous nation. They march in tents and towns, chanting "Enough is enough" against police brutality and violence. The group's initial demands were for a notorious police unit known as the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, or SARS, to be shut down. But the marches have since morphed into protests campaigning for police reform and an end to bad government in the oil-rich country. One of the possible chants used in the protests were "Sora Soak," which means "speak up" in the country's Yoruba language. It has become the End SARS battle cry, a tone of rebellion, a note of valid belligerently, and a chant of unification in Nigerian struggle against police brutality and terrible governance. Note Montali Alake, a journalist for Nigeria's Pulse newspaper. Economic equality has reached extreme levels in Nigeria, according to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, where Oxfam reported that in 2019, close to 70% of the country's population lives below the poverty line. Young people over 30 make up more than 40% of Nigeria's population. They face severe hardship and chronic unemployment, according to the Chatham House. If Nigeria's unemployed youth were its own country, it would be larger than Tunisia or Belgium. Now with the protest movement, they are making their voices heard and speaking up against the violence, harassment, and extortion they say have endured at the hands of SARS officers. The SARS unit was set up in 1999 to fight armed robbery and was given a wide range of powers. Many of the officers do not wear uniforms and name tags that identify themselves. They have been given numerous complaints that they have now turned this on the citizen and were perpetrating the very crimes that were set up to combat. Amnesty International documented 82 cases of police brutality in Nigeria between 2017 and 2020. In a damning report published in June 2020, the Human Rights Organization said people in SARS custody were subjected to a variety of methods of torture, including hanging, mock execution, beating, punching, and kicking, burning with cigarettes, waterboarding, near asphyxiation with plastic bags, forcing detainees to assume stressful bodily positions, and sexual violence. Complaints about SARS are not new. People have been speaking out since 2017 about the unit and has been several unsuccessful attempts by the government to scrap it. But the catalyst for the recent riot protests came in early October when reports surfaced that local media that the police had attacked a young man driven off in his luxury Jeep. It has sparked the use of NSAR's hashtag, and two popular musicians, Run and Files, decided to hold the office march to air the grievances. Files, whose real name is Fratina Falana, said they was expecting a handful of people, but weren't surprised when hundreds, including other celebrities, turned up. Everyone is dissatisfied, and the government's failing to react to this level of outcry is sheer disregard for the people. The administration is very insensitive, Files told CNN at the time. Soon, the movement mushroomed organically around the country as years of frustration and anger boiled over the disenfranchised youth. Nigeria is facing a reckoning, one that is long overdue, said Yuntuid Ahmed, a professor of global affairs and politics in New York. With a growing youth bulge of under 30 years old, Nigeria can no longer ignore the demands of the young people. During the protests, participants erected tents and DJ booths at various sites across the country. Some cramped overnight outside the Lagos State Assembly, where others chanted Solidarity Forever, sang the national anthem, and repeatedly held multi-faith prayer sessions, as well as a festival of lights to honor the dead held at now infamous Lekki Toll Gate. This is the awakening of Generation Y, who are under 35 and will have the significant impact on the political landscape. And it's Amaka Uncle, who heads the African practice of the Razor Group, told CNN. I think the movement will define political correctness. It will lead to a higher turnout in 2023. Help define campaign issues for the 2023 election, Uncle added. The movement itself was not just about police brutality, said Ahmed. It is years of ongoing social trauma caused by the inadequate healthcare system and institutions of education, systemic corruption, nepotism, and electoral fraud, poverty, and more, she said. The NSAR's movement was the tipping point. Not surprisingly, the NSAR's protests in Nigeria have been compared to the Black Lives Matter fight against police brutality to the U.S. It has attracted massive goals of support with solidarity protests in UK, US, Germany, and other parts of the world. Celebrities such as Kanye West, John Boyega, and Rihanna, among a host of others, have given their support, shining a global light spotlight on NSAR's hashtag. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey tweeted about the movement, while his platform gave verified blue check status to some who were prominent in it and created an hashtag NSAR's emoji symbol. There's no discernible leadership and decentralized structure of the movement, and young people were quick to reject any person who tried to insert themselves as a leader because they feared being compromised. A feminist coalition. Women have taken a leading role in powering the marches in the phenomenal feminist coalition. Nearly raised $400,000 to fund the different protests springing up around the country. They posted a real-time accounting of their expenditure on Twitter and quickly wrung praise for their openness and accountability, something Nigerians have long demanded for their elders. In addition, the movement provided free medical insurance for those injured in the protests and rapid response volunteer legal assistance to help from those arrested, while also doing some CSR along the way, including raising money to buy prosthetic limbs for two amputees who joined the marches on crutches. One of the protesters wanted to be known as CM because she said she has received multiple threats, told CNN. We are united as Nigerian youths. It has been the most scary, fearful, heartbreaking time, but regardless of class, tribe, and all of that, we came together to say that we don't want to be killed, extorted, harassed, or brutalized. One thing I got of this entire thing is that the movement people came together, they can achieve anything, she added. The global support and strength of the NSAR's movement clearly rattled the establishment, who responded with brute force and the level of violence that has led to anger and global condemnation. On Tuesday, October 20, protesters sitting and singing the national anthem say that they were barricaded on either side of the Lekki toll gate and fired upon the Nigerian security forces. Figures from the embassy said that at least 12 people died. DJ Switch was live streaming the protests on her Instagram page when the shooting happened. She told CNN, "I'm heartbroken. There was no warning. We just heard gunshots and the soldiers came in guns blazing. It is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. They were just shooting like we were goats and chickens." The Nigeria army has posted that the reports are fake news. The army has not responded to multiple requests for comment for CNN. Even before Tuesday's shooting, protesters has faced tear gas, water cannons, and live ammunition during their peaceful marches. Even as Nigeria Inspector General of Police, Muhammad Alu, announced the dissolution of SARS for at least the fourth time in 4 years, protests was being dispersed with tear gas, water cannons, and live bullets. Aisha Yefestu, 45, is a veteran activist who campaigned for the return of the kidnapped Nigerian Chibok girls and joined the protests in Akraba very early on. She is at pains to point out that the movement is being led by the youth of Nigeria and that she is just giving them moral support. However, few can forget the image of her fist clenched in the air and standing defiantly as she faced down the police in the country's capital, Aruba, on October 10th. I raised up my hand and clenched fists and started walking back slowly. They were all shooting at me, it was said. I braced myself for the impact and they were throwing tear gas. I said to myself, no matter what, I am going to go down standing. I was bracing myself for the pain that would come from any impact. CNN reached out to the Nigerian police for comment and the allegations against the officers. Lagos State spokesman Madola Akjoba said all the complaints against his officers are carefully investigated and appropriate sanctions applied to offenders. Several states across the country have also instituted jujitsu panels to investigate allegations against police officers. Following days of silence, President Buhari addressed the nation on Thursday but failed to address Tuesday's military attack on peaceful protesters. Instead, he issued a thinly veiled threat to young people to get off the streets and stop the protests. The speech was poorly received and it made him fail to show the empathy or any accountability for the deaths of Nigerians. In the aftermath of the speech, many Nigerians said that they were left feeling deflated in the typical fashion. They responded online with humor to mask their disappointment. Soon, Canada visa, it is finished, and international passport became trending topics on Twitter. As for the End SARS movement, they are taking Buhari's message seriously, and they say they are halting the physical protests to focus on online agitation. CNN tells CNN, the protests have ended, but we still have a lot of questions about people who lost their lives. The movement is not ended. Now we have to think about it a little more strategically because we don't want people to lose their lives anymore. We don't want anybody else to be in danger. At the Buhari speech, the coalition of protest groups released a statement saying that they were still determined to press on for a better Nigeria. For the sake of well-being in our companies and our comrades and ordinary serious, being adversely affected by this, we will deprioritize the physical protests for now, the statement said. Before the state of those who died before the protests, during the protests, and at the hands of soldiers at the Lekki toll gate, people who the government has largely refused to acknowledge, the struggle must continue. The movement, which has been described as Hydra-headed, may have been one of his heads out for now. But it is certainly have a force to be reckoned with, and that one has given Nigeria's youth the chance to be heard. Yeah, so that's the article. CNN talk about how the Nigerian youth is standing up to these police brutality, which is cool. I'm going to read other articles. I'm going to go to Wikipedia.com when they talk about the Hashtag end SARS. All right. End SARS, or hashtag end SARS, is a decentralized social movement, a series of mass protests against police brutality in Nigeria. Slogan calls for the disbanding of the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, a notorious unit of the Nigerian police with a long record of abuses. The protest, which takes its name from the slogan, started in 2017 as a Twitter campaign using the hashtag #EndSARS to demand the disbanding of the unit by the Nigerian government. After experiencing realization in October 2020, following more revelations of the abuses of the unit, mass demonstrations occurred through the major cities of Nigeria, accompanied by vociferous outrage on social media platforms. About 28 million tweets bearing the hashtag have been accumulated on Twitter alone. Solidarity protests and demonstrations by Nigerians in diaspora and sympathizers occur in many cities of the world. The protest is notable for its patronage by a demographic that is made of entirely young Nigerians. Within a few days of renewed protests on October 11, 2020, the Nigerian police force announced that it was dissolving the unit with immediate effect. The move was widely received as a triumph of demonstrations. However, it was noted in many quarters that the similar accounts had been made in recent years to pacify the public without the unit actually being disbanded, and that the government had merely planned to reassign and review the SARS officers to medical centers rather than disband the unit entirely. Protests have continued accordingly, and the Nigerian government has maintained a pattern of violence, repression, including the killing of demonstrators. There have been international demonstrations of solidarity with those happening in the country, and the movement has also grown increasingly critical of Muhammad Buhari's government response to protests. SARS officers have been alleged to profile young Nigerians, mostly males, based on fashion choices, tattoos, and hairstyles. They were also known to mount illegal roadblocks, conducting unwarranted checks and searches, arrest and detain without warrant or trial, rape women, and extort young male Nigerians for driving exotic vehicles and using laptops and iPhones. Nigerians have shared both stories and video evidence how officers of SARS engage in kidnapping, murder, death, rape, torture, unlawful arrest, humiliation, unlawful detention, extrajudicial killings, and extortion of Nigerian citizens. A large section of the victims of the abuses of SARS have been young male Nigerians. Damn. The Special Anti-Robbery Squad, SARS, was a branch of the Nigerian police force under the State Criminal Investigation and Intelligence Department. It was founded in late 1992 as one of the 14 units in the force Criminal Investigation and Intelligence Department, which is established to detain, investigate, and prosecute people involved in crimes like armed robbery, kidnapping, and other violent crimes. The squad was created as a last-wearing police unit that performs undercover operations against violent crimes like armed robbery, car snatching, kidnapping, cattle rustling, and bearing the use of illegal firearms. SARS has been accused of several human rights violations, illegal stopping searches, illegal arresting extrajudicial. SARS have been accused of several human rights violations, illegal stop and searches, illegal arrests and detentions, extrajudicial killings, sexual harassment of women, and the brutalizing of young male Nigerians. The human rights abuses were documented in the trending videos of social media. In 2017, Nigerian activists, youth, and celebrities around the nation took to the streets in a peaceful protest to spread awareness of SARS brutality and the extortions to demand its disbanding. The protests also moved to social media using the hashtag #EndSARS. 2016 report by Amnesty International indicted SARS, maintaining that the squad was responsible for human rights abuses. Cruelty, degrading treatment of Nigerians in their custody. and other widespread torture. Some of the human rights abuses by SARS include the shooting of their detainees in the leg, mock execution and threats of execution, hanging and physical assault. A 2020 publication by the organization documented 82 cases of abuses and extrajudicial killings by SARS between January 2017 and May 2020. Initial protests and reaction. Amnesty International accused the SARS official of regularly detaining young male Nigerians illegally and extorting money from their relatives. In 2017, a petition signed by 10,195 people was submitted to Nigeria's National Assembly, calling for a total disbandment of SARS. A few generals backed the call for total disbandment of the unit. Consideration was given to reforming the force rather than full disbandment due to the number of cases failing. The campaigners moved from social media using the hashtag #EndSARS to organize peaceful protests in Abuja, Lagos, Abadan, Osun, Benin, Ugadi, Rari, Lurin, Ugamaso, Oredo, Jos, Kaduna, and other Nigerian cities and states, threatening to continue if the government is refused to disband the force. If I'm mispronouncing the city, Nigerians, I'm very sorry. This is the first time I'm actually reading up about your country like this. In response to the campaign, Nigeria Police Force Public Relations Officer Jamad Masood accused the campaigns of being criminals. Despite this, Inspector General Nigeria Police Force Ibrahim K. Idris ordered the reform and reorganization of SARS. October 2020, the second wave. A Saturday, 3rd, October 2020, a video showing a SARS police officer shooting a young Nigerian in front of Wetland Motel, Ugali Delta State, trended on the internet. It was alleged that the police officers took away the young man's vehicle, a Lexus SUV. The trending video caused public outcry on social media, especially on Twitter, with the hashtag #EndSARS hashtag trending. On October 8th, 2020, nationwide protests on #EndSARS started after many weeks of outrage and anger with the videos and pictures showing police brutality, harassment, and extortion in Nigeria. These protests were led predominantly by young Nigerians in different cities, along with many activists and celebrities. The Nigerian police force disrupted the protests in some cities, throwing tear gas, using water cannons, and shooting at unarmed police protesters as seen at Jaduba and Osun. This led to the death of Jamal Azal in Ogamoso, Oyo State by October 14, 2020. The #EndSARS protests were still ongoing, with young people in different parts of Nigeria intensifying their calls for reforms and accountability in police operations. October 11, 2020, the protesters made a list of 5 demands to be met by the federal government of Nigeria. These demands, which were signed by a Nigerian youth, demanded for the immediate release of all arrested during the protests, as well as justice and compensation for all who died during police brutality in Nigeria. They also demanded that an independent body be set up within 10 days to investigate, prosecute all reports of police misconduct. The police also asked for a psychological evaluation and a retraining of SARS operatives before they have to be deployed to any other police unit. Lastly, they asked for adequate increase in the salaries for the officers of the Nigerian police. Nigerian government response. In response to public outcry and police brutality, Inspector General Nigerian Police Band FSARS, Special Tactical Squad, Intelligence Response Team, Anti-Cultism Squad, and other tactical units from mounting of roadblocks, checkpoints, stop and search, and other routine and patrols. Similar bans have been announced multiple times over the previous years, causing citizens of Nigeria to question whether the bans will be upheld. There were further reports of SARS officers involved in killings across the country. This is the fourth time that the Nigerian government had announced a similar ban of SARS activity. Protesters insisted that the notorious police unit be entirely disbanded with a wide-ranging reform of the force to follow. Nigerian youths protested in SARS. Here's a timeline of events. Okay. Give me 1 second. Okay. Here's a timeline of events. On October 8th, Nigerian youths protested in SARS at the Lagos State Government's house on Thursday, October 8th, and slept at the gate of the governor's house till Friday, October 9th, 2020. When the deputy governor addressed the protesters, along with the Lagos State protesters were celebrities Files, Rundown, Don Jazzy, Olu Jacobs, Idris Abolibing, and a host of other several comedians and other media personalities. On Friday, October 9th, 2020, the deputy governor of Lagos State, Femi Hazlet, addressed the protesters with the knowledge that police officers do not have the right to trample on the rights of law-abiding citizens based on their appearance or items in their possession. He condemned police brutality and promised that the Lagos government will take action necessary to end it. The deputy governor also stated that 4 years previously he had been harassed by SARS police who were not in uniform. The Lagos House of Assembly held an emergency parliamentary sitting to deliberate the pension of the NSARS protesters. The parliamentarians made a 7-point resolution as follows. Nigeria's Senate and House of Assembly should probe SARS. The police commissioner should protect protesters, molestation of youths, and should be stopped. The institution of public outcry on the extrajudicial killings by Senate President and the House of Representatives Speaker. Proscription of SARS and its replacement by a new unit and a clear code of conduct sanction of illegalities. Nigerian youth protests on NSARS at the headquarters of the Nigerian Police Force in Federal Capital Territory, Aduba, and vowed to camp headquarters till Inspector General of Police Muhammad Abdul addresses them. Hold on. October 10th, while the protests continue on Saturday, October 10th, 2020, the Nigerian police stated that dispersing the youths with tear gas and water. The co-conductor of Being Black Our Kids, Aisha Yenfu, and other protesters were reportedly manhandled by the Nigerian police. The NSARS protests in Ogbaloda, Oloda State turned violent as the Nigerian police were alleged to have injured several protesters and shot dead a young man known as Jamida Azakudu in the protest. Traditional rulers used the Nigerian police forcefully to send back protesters and shot a dead young man that was Jamoka Asaki during the protest. Excuse me, I'm repeating the same sentence. Traditional rulers used the Nigerian police to forcefully send back protesters. Jamoka Asaki was taken into Bawo University Teaching Hospital for medical care and later died at the hospital. In response to the death of the protesters, the Commissioner of Police of Oyo State, Nadeska Umdula, denied the allegation that police killed the protester. He said that the police would use tear gas to prevent protesters from attacking and entering the police station. The governor of Oyo State, Sanam Magadi, sent a condolence message to on the demise of the protester and promised to investigate the incident. Yeah, on October 11th, Nigerian Inspector General of Police, Muhammad Abdullah, announced the dissolution of SARS. Many Nigerians within the movement criticized the announcement, however, pointing out that similar promises had been made earlier years in the government's plan to reassign SARS officers to other police departments rather than eliminate them from the force entirely. The protests continued despite the dissolution of many do not believe the pronouncement. David Aleki, a property musician known as David O, joined the groups and insults protesters in Aruba to call out the end of police brutality and the notorious police units in the city. The police started dispersing the protesters with tear gas, loud bullets, and water cannons. Three more protesters were shot dead in Ruga, Oluda State, following a killing the day before. On Monday, October 2020, the governor of Lagos State, Mahali Sano Alu, and the minister of police affairs, Murari Dingagai, urged protesters to believe that SARS has been disbanded. On Monday 12, 2020, Delaware State Governor Naim White announced that the End SARS protests were disallowed in River State. He banned a form of protest in River State on Monday. The governor of state, Malaki, barred police from engaging with the protesters in order to avert further casualties from the pandemic. Bystander watching the protests was shot dead by members of the Nigerian police force. Accelerated while leaving four injured, they also arrested and detained peaceful protesters. The protests in Lagos and Lekki Expressway Tollgate, Mahola Muhammad International Airport Tollgate, Luska Aradu Road and Yawuba caused heavy traffic gridlock and crippled businesses as young people to demand end SARS. Protests continue in Aruba as young people continue to march against police harassment, brutality, and extortion. They block the Berger roundabout to draw attention to their demands. Earlier on the day, the protest has been challenged by pro-SARS sympathizers who were marching in support of the Inspector General of Police Muhammad Abdu and the Nigerian President Muhammad Buhari under the aegis of Citizens Actions for Good Governance. Protesters in Ayo State with placards calling for the disbandment of SARS to end police brutality, extortion, extrajudicial killing demonstrated in front of a university, Abadan, and Ayo Road in Abadan. The protests locked down Ayo Road, making vehicle movement to be at a standstill. On Tuesday, October 13th, 2020, Ilani Akwaku, the governor of Delta State, said that the End SARS protest is a result of a fair leadership. The government also announced the constitution of a five-member police complaints committee with two representatives from youth organizations. The governor had earlier appealed to the police to desist from harassing the protesters as people were free to express grievances in a democratic suspension. On Tuesday, October 13, 2020, the public relations officer of the Nigerian police force, Frank Mimia, announced the setting up of the special weapon tactics team to replace SARS. The new outfit, which is expected to take off within the 7 days, will undergo psychological and medical evaluation to determine their fitness. The protest was taken to the National Assembly. Moving from Banish Junction, Aruba, protests peacefully marched to the junction leading the National Assembly around 2 p.m., where they were stopped by soldiers who violently resisted the movement and injured some protesters in the process. Aris TV news crews who were recording the process at the entry of the National Assembly were attacked. Ferdinand Durrell was one of the crew members who was assaulted, while Francis Obanana, a cameraman with the same news outfit, was attacked the previous day while covering the announcement of the dissolution of SARS by the Inspector General of Police. The governor of Lagos State promised to set up a 200 million naira fund for residents of the state who had been victims of police brutality. He had met with President Muhammad Buhari to present the demands of the protesters in Lagos State. Video surfaced for the meeting showing that the president chuckled as the governor saw talk about his state's compensation from victims. The president's action met a lot of negative criticism from Nigerians. According to a press release signed by a spokesperson of the president, Femi Adesina, the Nigerian government had agreed to the five demands of the End SARS protesters. The agreement was reached at a meeting organized by the Office of the Inspector General of Police and National Human Rights Commission. It was attended by stakeholders, which include the Officers Ministry of Police Affairs and Police Service Commissions, representatives of civil society organizations, activists for the entertainment industry, and the NSARS movement. The protests continue in Lagos, young people carrying place cards denouncing SARS and appealing for the end to police harassment, extortion, and brutality block the Lagos Ebini Expressway. October 14th. Protests in Lagos were attacked with cutlasses, sticks, and charms. In Aruba, protesters were attacked by people with cutlasses, and Berger roundabout. Cars were destroyed and some of the protesters was injured. October 15th, the prohibition of demonstrators in the Federal Capital Territory Security Commission was announced. The decision was taken at a meeting held on yesterday, October 2020, which was chaired by the FCT Commissioner Malam Muhammad Bello. The announcement recognized the rights of citizens to gather and demonstrate, however. It went on to point out that the Nigerians thought this absurd since there have been elections in Edo along with massive rallies and preceding weeks. Buhari's daughter had also held a wedding ceremony. At the peak of pandemic, Abubakar Kahari, the late chief of staff to the president of Nigeria, was buried without adherence to COVID-19 guidelines. People conveyed by Lagos State buses attacked protesters near the state secretariat in Alusa. October 16, 2020, the hacktivist group Anonymous hacked the Twitter account of the National Broadcast Commission and posted a message which stated, "We Anonymous will continue to support Nigerians in the support for the ongoing protest." Thousands of protesters gathered in the Lekki Toll Gate in Alusa, Ekiti, to hold a candlelight session for the various victims of SARS police killings. A day after the FCTA banned protests across the capital territory, amidst fear of a second wave of COVID-19 outbreak due to the protests, youth protesting against police brutality and abuses moved their protests from the city gate to the airport road, which they obstructed both incoming and outgoing commuters, thereby causing a gridlock, leaving thousands stranded. Following violent escalations, which include attacks by agitators against both protesters and police, the governor of Lagos State declared a statewide 24-hour curfew effective 4 p.m. October 20th. During this time, images of some persons alleged to be working with the Lagos State government and the Lekki Concession Company removing cameras at the toll gate circulated at the NSARS on Twitter, and streetlights at toll gate vicinity were turned off. A few hours later, it was reported that the armed men of the Nigerian army arrived at the scene of the protests and opened fire on the peaceful and armed protesters, thereby resulting in the disputed number of deaths, a clip shooting trending on the internet. There were also reports that at least 50 other people were injured. However, the Lagos State government later reported that in the shooting resulting of the 25 injured and only 2 dead. Despite the fact that the curfew was extended until 9 p.m., soldiers of the Nigerian army started shooting before 7 p.m. Following the killings on October 20th, video evidence showed that more shootings was being carried out by the Nigerian army and the Nigerian police and the unarmed protesters. Some people believe an attack to burn buildings, vehicles, TV stations, and radio over a Lagos palace. The governor of Lagos has said that there were no casualties from the incident of the previous day, but later tweeted that there have been reports of one casualty and negated the reports sent by various Twitter and Instagram users who had live recordings of the killings. While the protesters gathered again at the Lekki Toll Gate where the shooting took place on October 20th, they were forced out by police. While the protesters defied the curfew imposed by the Lagos State governor, hoodlums burned out about 30 government buses at his bus station. Also burnt was a television continental station linked to a former governor of the state, Bola Ahmed Tinubu, who was a national leader of the ruling All Progressive Congress. On October 22nd, it was reported that the armed men began shooting at the protesters of Littleport Hollow Court. The attackers began breaking into homes, murdering those inside, and afterwards torching down properties. It has been rumored that the shooters were Fulnanti herdsmen, but there is no verification of this claim. Let's see. Yeah, so this is a timeline of all the protests that's happening in Nigeria. Now, I would like you guys, thank you guys for listening to this broadcast. Apparently, there was a shooting in Philadelphia. And I'm actually going to do a podcast episode about that very quickly. Or probably will come out in tomorrow in the next 2 days. It depends on the evidence that comes out. But that will be out very quickly. Thank you very much, and you enjoy your day.